shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. Is this a bad movie? We'll discuss. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined as always by Cody Wolf.
I just realized I don't have a line for this.
I don't.
What? It's my favorite Arnold line.
Oh. I might be back. I'll go with that one.
That did make me laugh. Yeah. That did make me laugh.
I just realized
that
I didn't
just make clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the guy's like, he's coming back. He'll be back.
Michael Rapaport. Yeah, that was pretty well done. Jack Estabrook.
You should clone yourself so you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I love that line so much.
And Christy Smorrell.
I was all planning to do a line from that weird doll, but then I just creeped myself out too much.
That doll. Like, that doll is... I kept expecting that
creepy
doll to come back.
So did I.
I think it was reminiscent of Total Recall, where Schwarzenegger spends a lot of time in a cab running away from a group of armed guys, and there's a talking puppet character that's saying funny one-liners that then his head falls off at the end, and it's like a gag. It was basically the same thing, except with the doll, it was creepier. Robot cab driver was a little bit easier to stomach.
I just don't know why they didn't make... Or why they made the doll so creepy. Like that.
I don't know.
Why not just creepy?
Like a choice.
So creepy.
Why even include it in the movie? Why not have it just be a virtual thing like the guy's virtual girlfriend and have like a, hi, I'm your pal, and it's like a hologram and people keep running through it.
Well, it's kind of like Jackson,
and they can't
too
turn it off.
Like the joke goes a little... They keep going back to it to the point where I'm like, okay, why do we keep, like, there's punchlines that are repeated, and I'm like,
like we said, it's... The length they took it, like you would think it would have to come back, but
No, it doesn't. No. This is a little different. I don't. Anybody who disagrees chimes in. I think we all kind of enjoyed this movie.
Did we mention the name of the movie?
Oh, movie The Sixth Day, the 2000s.
Twins 2.
yes.
Or Twins, the prequel.
Yeah, the 2000 Arnold Schwarzenegger blockbuster.
I saw the sucker in the theater.
Did you? Yeah. Okay. And did we all kind of like it?
I didn't hate it. It just felt very generic.
I liked it more then than I do now.
Yes.
But I still thought it was a generic... It was a generic film. But I still felt it was a satisfying experience.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate it. It was just...
But it's not dated well.
To me, it felt like a parody of like a Schwarzenegger movie you would see in like another movie. Like,
yes.
Like, oh, we're going to see a new Schwarzenegger movie and here's the trailer and it's some like really bad generic...
It has that feel. Yeah. It's like the people who are making it were out of touch and not realizing like this isn't going to play that well.
Yeah.
So I realized a few minutes into the movie that we own this movie, and a little while later, so a few minutes into the movie, I realized that I had walked in on my husband watching this movie a couple of months ago.
And then he quickly shut it off because he was embarrassed, and then he switched to something else.
No, I walked in during the scene where he finds out that he's the clone.
Oh, the ending.
So I knew that the whole time, and I was thinking...
I figured that out pretty early.
Yeah, it still holds up, but...
Yeah.
It's not like it was a ha-ha, like a cheat. It does make sense.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch it again.
I think I knew pretty early on, though. So
yeah.
The movie is also kind of so generic that even when that's revealed, it's kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really knock you out or anything. You're like, okay. I mean, you know, these guys in theory have the same memories,
Does it really matter?
Which is kind of
a cool concept in and of itself. Like, they're fighting for the same family. It doesn't matter which one is the real one.
Yeah.
Except one of them doesn't know he's fighting for the family until...
Very late in the movie. I want to, because we all have worked in news. What I always remember this movie for, two things. One, this movie has one of the craziest movie posters of the modern era, which is Arnold doing that
face while he's got the eye reading thing.
Funny watching it because I always thought seeing that poster that was some like torture thing he was going through or something, but it's like just like an eye test that they
it has
some significance, but it's not like
on it's the poster, not a it looks big like he's part like, of the movie.
I think that scene or the poster part was from later on in the movie when he's being forced into it and he's trying to fight it. So that part,
but it was still just like an eye scan.
It's not like the Men in Black flashy thing where they hold up the flashy thing in the trailer. You know, it's like
it's just so crazy that someone in marketing was like, this is the image. Like, this is the image that will sell this movie. And it's like, that's a...
Well, I was reading on IMDb that he apparently refused to pose, like, for the poster with a gun. So I think that was...
Oh, because he's running for governor, I bet.
Maybe.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
So maybe that's why they went with that instead. But
okay. I don't know. All right, maybe. We all worked in news. I remember this movie for when it came out. I'm not going to say the person's name, but to embarrass them now. But we were in a newsroom morning meeting, which all of you have been in, and someone said, I think we should do a story about cloning. It's really on a lot of people's minds right now with that new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, The Sixth Day, coming out. To which point, like, I like remember, like, literally laughing out loud and being like, if we're going to let Schwarzenegger movies dictate our news coverage, we are in trouble.
Mm-hmm. We are indeed.
So let's get into this. So it starts off with, you know, the Bible quote. This was an addition after a test screening audience didn't understand the Sixth Day reference, but they... On the Sixth Day, and we get a cloning info montage, I guess I would call it.
A sheep. They've cloned a sheep. There's like 40 words on the screen.
Yeah. And they kind of...
Well, that was a real thing that happened at the time.
I remember that being like a big
thing. That was relevant at the time.
Yep. It was kind of big. And now we go to Johnny Phoenix and the Roadrunners, big team... In the XFL.
I messaged you guys because it's funny because it says like in the very near future and then it cuts to an XFL game. I was like, oh, XFL, yeah, near future. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, the XFL is coming back.
Like, it actually is
like
the near future.
Or next year or something like that, yeah. So I was like, this could be the near future.
I didn't realize this was in there. I spent a week. My friend Jason Bristol and I are probably two of the only people who can say we spent a week at XFL training camp in Orlando covering it.
I think the players spent that long in training.
Yeah, I know. We were there so long, we were actually giving players rides to their hotel because that's how loosely organized the XFL was.
Wow. I thought you were going to say you were there so long that you actually got recruited onto a team.
You felt that way. I mean, it was a real like fly-by-night operation there.
And then like halfway through the movie, I was like, wait, is the XFL not coming back? Because I thought it come back because it was so prominent. Like,
well, I thought Johnny,
just to show you that they were cloning that guy.
Yeah,
and
for it to be the XFL, it must have been that year when it was a big thing.
They
gave him some money.
I'm sure they did. Yeah,
I kept thinking Johnny Phoenix was going to come back, and I know he does come back, but I kept thinking that like that character was going to play a bigger role at some point
instead
later
of just
in the
being
movie.
An example actually, of cloning people.
Yeah, I didn't think any of that. I just thought, oh, okay, yep, they're cloning people to make the money. They don't care.
I think that's what it's basically there to establish.
I just thought, why the XFL and not just like a made up league? You know what I mean?
Just make up football. XFL. You don't even have to say NFL. Right. It's just a football team.
Yeah, I bet it was just cash probably. Johnny Phoenix has this horrific... I mean, this movie is weirdly like a Nostradamus for all kinds of things. Like, the XFL is coming back, head injuries in football, autonomous
cars,
vehicles, drones.
My favorite is the fridge. The smart fridge that tells you you need and you can order more.
It didn't look like they
that's
do.
Real. It looks close.
They did a good job of it, though.
It's real. This is
pretty close.
I would make a case that if somebody said what movie has most accurately predicted the future, I would say maybe The Sixth Day.
Yeah.
It really might be.
Didn't Back to the Future get... the Red Sox winning the World Series one year.
It was the Cubs by one year. But they beat a different team though. But they did win the World Series.
Yeah. So they so he has a traumatic head injury. He gets loaded into an ambulance. Michael Rooker kills him in
Welcome
the ambulance,
back.
But kills him so that they can clone him.
Mm-hmm. Because it was a life-threatening injury anyway.
Well, he wouldn't be able to play anymore.
He said we have a lifetime contract with a vegetable.
He broke his neck. So, he's not playing anymore.
And then we meet Arnold Schwarzenegger. I always enjoy this in this era of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies where Arnold is just portrayed as a normal family guy, and no one is like, this guy is a mountain of a human.
One thing I noticed about this movie is that, because I was thinking the same thing, like, why does no movie ever reference, like, why doesn't he say, like, well, when I came to the States, or anything, except there's a throwaway line, well, there's actually two lines later on that I'm really thinking there must have been scenes that got cut, because when much later on, when they're making the makeshift bombs.
Yeah.
Clone Arnold that we've been following the whole time makes some comment about how this is like the Rainforest War or something like that. And then when he, and I'm forgetting
implying
which one
that he's
first,
some kind of a veteran
second,
of a war.
That he's a veteran. Because then there's also a comment about faking his war wounds, like his war scars
for the
clone. So apparently he was in the Rainforest War, which is never mentioned aside from those two lines. So I'm assuming there's some sort of a cut scene or something.
Yeah.
So maybe that explains a little bit about...
Dutch from Predator.
Well, yeah.
But my favorite thing is, because a comedian on a radio show I was listening to once pointed this out with Arnold Schwarzenegger in all these movies. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's got that thick accent, but he's always playing like a guy with a completely like American name. He's like, he's Adam Gibson in this movie.
Yeah. Well,
his actual name is Schwarzenegger, but he's Adam Gibson in this movie. It's
If I'm remembering correctly, I can only think off the top of my head of three movies that address the accent. One is Predator, where his character is simply named Dutch. Doesn't matter what his real name is, but he's called Dutch. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a European accent, so it kind of makes sense. Two is in Total Recall, where you're not supposed to know which story is true. The alter ego's name is Hauser.
Spoiler alert, I've never seen it.
Oh.
Well, and I will say...
Actually, the character's name is Hauser.
That movie all over the place.
Well, right? And to pay Total Recall another bit
of
credit,
Total Recall
they
so
actually
much.
Explain why he's like unbelievably
because he's like a construction worker.
Okay. And you're like, oh,
but,
okay.
But
like,
the film has got the two stories where he may be a secret agent too named Hauser. He doesn't fit in one world. He doesn't fit in the other. So that kind of makes sense. And then the third one was, of course, in Twins, where he was this isolated guy raised on an island by all these European scientists. Every other movie I've ever seen that I can think of, his name is like Tom Jones or Bob Smith or Adam Gibson.
Or Mr. Freeze.
Oh, Mr. Freeze. Oh, yeah, Victor Freeze. You're right. I forgot about that.
Oh, but if you give somebody a name like Victor, you assume that they're going to have some sort of European accent. Yeah. That's all it takes is the name.
At least the attempt is there, like in Hard Target, where they made Van Damme a Creole to kind of try to explain his French accent. Instead of saying he's from Belgium, you know, they can just...
Well, they did make an attempt. You're right. I'll give them
even though it's not an accurate attempt. At least the attempt is there, as an audience member, I can accept it.
To delve into Hard Target for a second, the problem is that Van Damme then actually tries to do that accent.
Instead of just speaking in his normal one.
So you've almost got like an accent on an accent, which is real weird. But there is an effort there. There was a good faith effort. So they get some credit.
I really do want to know what the story of the Rainforest War really was.
Yeah, that was interesting. I wish they actually had dropped that a little bit earlier that he was a veteran.
Or just say, do you remember when we were in munitions in the Army, right? Like, just a simpler line that doesn't leave an unanswered question.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if it's the Rainforest War, because that also explains not only why he's Jack, but his accent, like where he was from, if they were fighting...
Oh, maybe he's from a country with rainforest?
With rainforest, or, you know, they were fighting in the rainforest... Mm-hmm. From somewhere else, and then he ended up
emigrating to the States through that. Okay.
I don't know. There must be a whole story.
Has Schwarzenegger ever done like an American accent or anything?
I don't think he can.
I wouldn't
expect him to.
I feel like the time for an American accent was when he was governor of California.
Because I was thinking about last night, like now a lot of actors, from England or wherever do American accents in movies and stuff now. It's like, but back then it was just Schwarzenegger being Schwarzenegger no matter what his name was or...
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, a lot of them are more like classically trained.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger's there to punch things.
Watching this movie, I was like, I always forget how bad Arnold Schwarzenegger is as an actor. Like, I always forget how good, like, Sylvester Stallone is, but I always forget how bad Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
Yeah. Well, you see, like, we're going to get into it a little bit, but, like, he was not... making great choices. Yeah. I think sometimes it was nearing the end of his
bankable. The Schwarzenegger era was definitely coming to an end at this particular point. It had been for a while.
Yeah.
Because there was a time when it was just like boom, boom, boom. And he actually did some great movies despite the acting performance. Like I think Total Recall is a fantastic film.
It's great.
I really do.
I love Total Recall.
I love Paul Verhoeven.
A moratorium on Total Recall.
I'm going to, this movie is a pitch, this podcast is a pitch for Total Recall.
But I think
Predator is really good.
Predator's great.
And Terminator 1 and 2.
Great. Talk about this movie.
Did some great movies.
Well, I think
what's the other one? True Lies is great.
Just a reminder, we're talking about the six today.
I do want to mention, though, like Total Recall, because I think this movie does have a Total Recall connection. And you look at Total Recall, it's a very heady sci-fi story.
It is.
It's a Philip K. Dick story. It's very. And then they basically dumbed it down and made it into a blockbuster. And it worked fantastically in Total Recall. They're clearly trying to do that here, and the results are more mixed. Mm-hmm. Because this is a pretty complex concept that they're actually pushing, mm-hmm. that they then dumb down, and you're like, okay, you may have dumbed it too much.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a very good version of this as a super smart movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe this.
Well, they couldn't make that movie in. This was 2000, right?
This was 2000.
Because it has a lot of that kind of late 90s, early 2000s, like, effects, like the weird, like, strobed. They do that a lot. Yeah. Slow motion strobe stuff. And
Very Die Another Day. Just,
Yeah.
The director of this did direct
a Bond movie, by the way.
That's right. Which one directed did he?
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Right. It was one of the Brosnan.
And he was supposed to. I was reading last night. He was.
Spottiswood?
Yeah.
Is that how it's pronounced?
I think so. I don't really know. Yeah. But I think he was supposed. They asked him to do World's Not Enough, but he said no to do this movie, I think, is what I read.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a real. Oof. That's a tough choice. Do you want to do a bad Bond movie or a shaky Arnold movie?
Yeah.
So he owns this helicopter charter company. Works with Michael Rapaport. Always nice to see Michael Rapaport pop up again.
He always plays a slightly sleazy guy.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's...
At least slightly.
Yeah, sometimes, like, I'm sure when you had a kind of, like, sketchy, like, character in your movie at that time, they're like, oh, Michael Rapaport, this is his wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
The family dog dies. The wife wants to have it cloned. Arnold is against cloning. He thinks it's creepy. And then
they establish that these pilots of these poorly CGI jets.
And they're taking people up on these skiing trips.
Their charter flight.
Chartered flights. Yeah. And Michael Rapaport is bringing one up. But even before they bring him up, there's this one guy in the ski trip who they keep showing us close-ups of. Like, I'm like, I don't even know why I'm suspicious of this guy, but I'm just, but based on the amount of close-ups, I'm suspicious
of him. He's trying hard to look suspicious.
Yeah. Like, the editor of this movie wants me to remember this guy, so all right, I will, you know. I guess we haven't even mentioned Tony Goldwyn yet, who's some kind of.
Has he been shown yet? Oh, we've seen his name, but we haven't seen him yet.
His name.
Is this Drucker?
Drucker, yeah. And he's like, I don't know, like if Bill Gates, Steve Jobs and Mark Cuban were like one guy. You know?
That's a pretty good analogy, yeah.
Yeah. Again, this movie's weirdly like predictive of the future.
He basically is like a billionaire who owns a bunch. He owns the XFL team, from the beginning, and he's involved in cloning. I don't know if you know that yet, but he owns like a big.
You see the contract that they show you five times.
Yes.
Is for replacement technologies. Is the company.
Yeah.
And there's this weird moment where this guy, who's obviously based on what we're being told in the movie, one of the most important people in the country. But Michael Rapaport's like, hey, let's switch identities for the day. I'm the junior pilot here. I'm going to take the most important client we've probably ever had. So you can go to the mall and talk to them about cloning your dog.
I think it's actually Arnold who says that, who because it's his birthday.
Oh,
it's
right,
a big
right,
thing
right.
in the game. Yeah. He's, and he has to go clone his dog and stuff. So he's like, why don't you take him? And Michael Rapaport's like, no, because he knows it's you. You know, he wants Adam.
He asked for you specifically.
Yeah. And he's like, well, he doesn't know which is which, so...
Right, right.
Yeah, and at this point, too, before they go on this trip, it should be noted that they're, quote-unquote, drug tested before the flight.
Oh, right, right,
where
right.
They do
and vision tested.
Yeah, so they take a blood sample, and then they do the vision test, and they're like, okay, you're good to go. And that's when they switch. And
they switch. I mean, it just seemed weird to me that Arnold, you would think in the world that this movie set up that Arnold would be like, no, man, this is, like, the most important job we've ever had.
Man.
Like, I think we, like, you know, this isn't just, like, a guy.
It's my birthday, so I want to go clone my dog.
I want to go talk to a guy about cloning my dog. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not.
Do it now!
In my mind, I have this, like, really long backstory for him now. So maybe they keep establishing, like, he's the only person that seems to be anti-cloning your dog.
Basically.
So maybe... This repet company is an American thing, and he hasn't grown up with it the way... Well, not grown up with, but...
Maybe.
So, you know, it's something that people do all the time in America, but he's only
European
been here for,
like
what, like 10 years? Maybe his daughter's around 10?
Maybe he had a bad cloning experience in the Rainforest Wars.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. There's a whole other movie really
again,
going
I did,
on in my
I
mind
did
right
feel
now.
That he goes to repet and is convinced to clone his dog. It's kind of like when he goes to recall and is... convinced to take Christ the Jack. Fake vacation.
Well, he wasn't convinced to clone his dog.
True, but it's the scene is well, kind of similar. In fact, I think the salesman is dressed the same way.
Real Arnold. Yeah. Again, I've never seen Total Recall, but
you're going to.
I own it. I think I've watched it though.
The real Arnold decided to clone his dog, but the.
So.
Although actually, there are two creepy dolls. So did the real? So who really cloned the? Dog. I'm thinking think way too much.
I think literally now it does make sense. I think that because he wakes up in the cab, implying that they cloned him and then they threw him in a cab and sent him off to the mall because they did their research enough where they knew he was going to clone his dog.
But the real
or because of his memories, he just came to and he said, "Oh, that's right, I got to go clone the dog." Meanwhile, the first Schwarzenegger went. Cloned his dog and decided
to clone his dog. But he didn't clone his dog because the salesman was like, you're still thinking about it or you haven't decided yet. So
who cloned the dog?
Maybe he came back after that. I don't know.
Or maybe I kind of suspected maybe the wife was just like, I'm cloning the dog. Maybe.
That's what Clone Arnold assumed.
That doesn't make sense.
But if the dog were never cloned, then it would make sense. If no one cloned the dog, then I think it would still make sense. Because then real Arnold goes in, says, never mind, I'm going to buy the doll. Then clone Arnold goes in, and the guy simply thinks, ah, now I can win him over. And he still doesn't clone the dog and goes and buys the doll because he's the same person. And he says, I might be back. Now, if they didn't clone the dog, this would make sense. I think the filmmakers made the mistake by cloning the dog.
Yeah. I mean, he may have just gone
I just thought of that now.
He may have gone home and his wife was like, wait, why didn't you clone the dog? He's like, okay, I'll go clone
the dog. Well, it is possible that he went back the third time and cloned the dog, or technically the second time for him. I think that that's where it's shaky. No, there would have had to
be a third visit.
That's where it gets shaky for me.
Second time for real Arnold. Right. Yeah. Third visit for Arnold in general.
The third time a person looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger coming into the store.
As far as the salesman was concerned, it was the third.
It was the third time. Wow.
Which I will admit is possible, but I do think that shakes the logic of it. It does.
Although I wonder
if it does work for the eerie hit that they're trying to hit you with. Like he comes home and then all of a sudden there's the dog. But I don't think it's worth undermining the setup.
I wonder if they tried to address that by adding in the, what's the wife's name? Natalie. Oh, Natalie. Like, he just assumes that his wife did it, so maybe that's what
maybe the wife did do it. Maybe Arnold bought the doll.
Here's another possibility. Is it possible that real Arnold went, talked to that salesperson?
Way too long with his dog.
I know. The salesperson didn't realize that he actually completed the sale, so then when clone Arnold comes in, he's like, oh, that guy's back. I guess he didn't finish the sale, but maybe he actually, maybe the salesperson just didn't.
But real Arnold also bought the creepy doll.
Yeah, that's true.
Which would make sense if the dog were never cloned. Because then you could easily write off as saying, clone Arnold is going to do what real Arnold would have done in the first place, and it makes sense. But the cloning of the dog is the thing that screws it all up.
The one thing we do know is that they both buy these incredibly creepy girl dolls.
Yeah,
I mean, if you haven't seen the movie, and they did this as a practical effect for better or for worse, I don't know, but I mean, it's terrifying.
In this moment, I wasn't sure if we were supposed to laugh at the doll or be scared of the doll. I would not have been surprised if there was a Chucky element to this doll.
Yeah. Then the doll like says weird things and is like trying to interact with you.
I mean, there's an attempt at humor here where they're trying to shut the doll off.
Yeah.
But why would the bad guys be humoring this doll? Wouldn't the bad guys just chuck the doll out the window if it is in fact a doll? Like when the bad guys, like when Schwarzenegger's in the cab arguing with the doll, okay, that's funny. The doll's a little creepy, but I get it. But when like Michael Rooker and crew are carrying this doll with them, shut that doll up. I don't know what to say to shut the doll up. Wah, 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 wah. Like it just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Wouldn't these assassins just chuck the doll out of his face and keep running after Arnold after he throws the doll?
We should say in between those two things. So he comes home, sees the dog, and then he hears inside people singing happy. It was supposed to be like a surprise party that he kind of knew about. But so he walks up the door and he hears people saying happy birthday. He looks through the window and he's in there with his family celebrating his birthday.
Yeah. And he's pretty quickly, like it's weird that he doesn't freak out And he's, I mean, I guess he, the cloning is known to happen. So he very quickly picks up on what's going on. And then when two hitmen come up to him, he's
Terry
like,
Terry Crews and
someone else.
Terry Crews, yeah.
He's like, hello. Like, he's not even really freaked out by them as he probably should be. You know, when they're like, you need to come with us, he's like, let me get more information. It was just more like, dude, like, this is a crisis.
Yeah. So you very quick, because they come up, they're like, we can help you, you just have to come with us. And you very quickly find out they're actually bad guys and they're trying to kill him. Yeah, so chase scene ensues.
Well, and of course he drives like an old-timey Cadillac. You know what I mean? Like, this felt very 90s-ish, where like it's not just a car chase, like the car has to be distinctive in some way. So it's an old-timey Cadillac.
Because it ties into him not liking the new ways of life.
Yeah. Now, if
maybe
anybody,
in his country, that's where, guys, you know, maybe he's Cuban and they haven't had cars imported since the 1950s. I don't
know.
I'm adding to the layers of the movie that I'm writing.
If this whole movie happened in Cuba, that would be fantastic. Did anybody notice anything odd about the pedestrians during the car chase?
None of them seemed to react to them.
No one. One extra reacts appropriately. There are so many unfazed people watching like a deadly car chase happening. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's always a little annoying when the stunt walkers are just kind of walking like normal instead of like...
Well, one of my
one can see what you're doing.
Yeah, I actually thought at one point that someone just like wandered into the scene because it was like
it's for your benefit.
It was just a weird shot. I thought like someone just happened to be there. It was like, oh no, that was I guess supposed to be someone like a pedestrian. They just didn't react at all.
Yeah, there's so many people. This is some bad assistant director work. Who should have been like, okay, extras, be freaked out when a car comes barreling at you at 70 miles an hour. At one point, Arnold. Like, this is where the movie, like, is trying to swing into Total Recall territory, but never quite gets there.
There are a lot of parallels.
He runs over a hitman. Total Recall is fun. He runs over a hitman, and Arnold's like, yes. And
then at that point, I was like, wow, that was brutal. That wasn't necessarily self-defense. That was straight-up murder.
He murdered him. Yeah. Like, even Michael Rooker is like, ooh.
Like, I can understand accidentally killing the guys who's trying to get away, but he literally, like, fist pumps. He's like, yes. It's like, this is just, like, a family guy. Like you said, it's not Arnold from, you know...
Maybe he has PTSD.
from the Rainforest War.
Yeah, it felt harsh. And he does... How does this wrap up? He does get away,
He drives the car off a cliff.
Really stupid,
right.
And then he's randomly hanging off a fence.
That's right.
And dives into the water, which not supposed to.
That's an Olympic dive.
I feel like when you're jumping off a cliff, you're supposed to go feet first. Water.
Because you don't know how, you know, it might be like 2 feet deep. You don't know.
Yeah. There's two stunts involving really high falls in this movie that I was like, whoa.
That stunt was pretty impressive. I mean, it didn't look like a fake. That looked like, I mean, there were a lot of cuts.
Yeah.
But it did look like a practical stunt to me.
Yeah, they both did. They both, in two cases, stuntmen fell a really long way for a movie people are pretty apathetic about.
Yeah.
And didn't he kill the girl somewhere in this too? Or no, the other guy accidentally shot the girl.
Yes.
Three assassins,
which leads to this recurring joke that I really liked, is that these goons keep getting recloned, and every time it's stuff like, now we're jumping way ahead, when they reclone the girl with the blue hair, she's like, damn it, I'm gonna do my hair again,
and she does it a different color,
and she does a different color every time. It's kind of funny that they kind of,
but they don't have,
and the one guy's hypochondriac is like, oh my god, I can't breathe, that's just because you were crushed in the chest, it's all in your mind in your last life. He's like, oh no man, it's real.
See, I thought that was going somewhere, but I guess
that doesn't go anywhere.
I took that for what it was. I took that as a face value joke that these goons were constantly being recloned and this is just part of
it. But they don't have as much fun with it as they should.
I agree with that.
This should have been better.
Yeah.
Like
they should have been likable, more likable characters.
Yeah.
These four.
But and why? And they're idiots, like Jack just said. So why would you keep recloning these guys instead of hiring new guys?
Well, especially it's possible 1.2 million each time.
That's kind of a trope, I think, in a movie like this, that the goons can't shoot straight. That they're kind of goofy. I'm okay with it in a movie like this.
I guess.
I really am. I'm okay with that in a movie like this. Just play it up. If you're going to do it, play it up. I can agree with that.
We also get to meet at this time Robert Duvall, which is shocking to me.
I know.
We've got two Robert Duvall movies.
He's been on this podcast twice as one of the best American actors.
I know. Well, and he really appears to be in a different movie.
We're
dipping into this other movie with him.
He could be in that smart movie that could be made about this topic.
Like if Arnold weren't the lead, if some other actor were the lead and they took a little more seriously.
Yeah.
He feels like he would be like... a bigger character in the smart version, because his storyline is super compressed. We basically, in the scene where we meet Robert Duvall, we also meet his wife, who's instantly like, we literally meet her, and then she's like, I don't feel well. And I'm like, oh, okay. So like, I guess we're not going to establish that, or we're not going to like endear ourselves to the character. We're just going to go straight to like, you know.
It is accelerated and compressed, but I do like the idea that the guy is the cloning scientist and his wife is dying.
Well, it's weird to have him come in kind of late. I mean, for it to be Robert Duvall and his storyline has so much to do with it. Just like all of a sudden he shows up and it's like, oh, he's a scientist and his wife's dying and he's conflicted.
That's what I feel like. He comes in late and leaves early. Yeah. He's just sort of in and out of this movie.
Yeah. It did feel like a different movie.
Lot of what he does, aside from the storyline with his wife, the rest of it is all exposition.
Yeah.
Right.
He explains the science. That's really what his character is for.
And that's the only distinction. Because at one point I was like, why aren't Tony Goldwyn and Robert Duvall one character? And then I was like, oh, they need exposition from Robert Duvall it would be weird to get from Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
And it highlights Tony Goldwyn's brutality.
Yes. Yeah. And that you needed kind of this... They also Robert Duvall's wife, they accelerated. It's way too compressed, but his wife kind of accelerates. Oh, here are the ethical and medical dangers of this. So it's a very... he's not like a real character. He's essentially like just serving the script or serving the storyline.
Yeah.
But because he's Robert Duvall, it actually makes it... He's kind of compelling in it.
Yeah. I would say he's probably one of the best parts of both the movies that we've done.
Yeah.
Which have been like two of the past three movies that we've done.
Yeah.
With him in them.
He's easily the best part of the...
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder. Thank you. I'm like, shoot, I can't remember the name of that movie.
Which also
for a moment, I was trying to remember if he was in Driven or Days of Thunder. I was losing it for a minute. And same time, Arnold goes to the cops. I don't know why. Why his character would go to the cops.
He's clearly being chased by who he believes may be government agents. We know that they're not, really.
But he's well aware there's a conspiracy going on. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me when you're like, okay, I know I'm the victim of a conspiracy. I'm just going to walk into a random police station. It seems like...
But he's just...
This is like fair game level logic, you know?
I mean, he is kind of a dumb...
it's fair.
He's just a family guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like, cloning humans is illegal, so I guess you would go to the police and be like, they're doing the legal thing, and there's a clone of my family, and...
I went to my body, and there was a clone of me there, and, you know, this cop's like, okay, buddy.
He loved my wife in a damn minivan.
Yeah. And he has to stage this, like, big escape of, like, going through a flat screen TV.
Which I don't understand why
that was really weird. Like, he knew there was a hallway behind the flat screen TV.
Well, they did show him, like, you know, after several, I'm assuming, you know, a long time in there, he did the whole, like, walk right up to it close and cup your hands around the eyes so he could see through.
I didn't notice that. Okay.
But it was like a TV. Like, I'm not sure how he was seeing through the TV, which was kind of weirding me out. But, you know,
future tech.
Future tech.
We haven't reached that part of the future.
Yeah. That's another thing that's coming.
Coming in 2020.
Because it wasn't really a TV. It was a mirror. And they established when he got ready in the morning that you could have TV in your mirror.
Oh, could also be a pop-up
display. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We'll go with that.
I didn't realize they set that up really.
Yeah. That moment when he sees the news in his mirror, that was really important for later on.
Which he also does in Total Recall when he's eating breakfast and sees the news flash up on the wall.
That does happen in Total Recall.
This film, as much as I liked it, as much as I liked this movie, and I did, spoiler alert, as goofy and as it did make me want to watch Total Recall instead. Because there are so many beats that are on Total Recall, and Total Recall is such a much better
movie. Maybe this movie is a marketing campaign for Total Recall.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
Didn't Total Recall come first?
Total Recall is like
1990. Some people would buy the DVD.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see if there's like a new like DVD release of Total Recall around 2000.
I love it.
There's a real crazy scene where Arnold then goes to Michael Rapaport's apartment. And Michael Rapaport, it's been established, has a digital girlfriend. By the way, precursor to Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
Everything that's going on with that digital girlfriend. if you liked Blade Runner 2049, thanks the sixth day. But like Arnold, who has just had to break out of a police station, people have been trying to kill him. He's been cloned, and yet he's kind of into Michael Rapaport's digital girlfriend for a minute and is getting turned on. And you're like, wait, how?
I thought that was just like a quick joke. Like, you get knocked into the sex seat, and he was like, what the hell is that? Like, he's like calling his friend out for this gross thing that he has in his
head. Yeah, but he is into such a strange beat in this movie, though, given what this guy has just been through.
There is a weird thing with this movie too about zippers. There's like four jokes about zippers in this movie.
Yes.
Or like twice you see a guy pulling up a zipper as he's about to get some, and it's like,
yeah,
to the point where there's a scene at the end where I thought there was a zipper joke, but I think that it wasn't.
Well, this movie also contains the horniest character we've seen in any movie we've done for the show, and I'm including elves in that ranking.
Oh my god.
In Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife in this movie.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
my god.
Like 35% of her screen time is her.
Just being horny. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, in situations where it's really not appropriate, like, yeah, that there's, like, young children around, that they're, like, in unsafe situations. Like,
I mean, minivan?
Yeah, this, we were just off camera, we were talking about sort of, like, Me Too, and then, like, how it's affecting in a positive way modern movies. This is, like, this actress must have been run in, and she's like, what's the thing? Like, what's my character's, like, definer? And they're like, horny. Like, that's in every scene, we need you to be as horny as possible for Arnold. Yeah, just as long as that comes through, you'll be fine. You know,
that's the purpose of the character.
Yeah.
Basically.
So there's this weird, so he's got the digital girlfriend, and then Michael Rapaport and Arnold go to Arnold's house for a scene that is kind of like a high-end version of, like, a Saved by the Bell, like, Zach Morris situation where they're, like, spying on the clone and, like, hiding behind couches and, like... I don't really know in this scene why they why the Arnold didn't confront the other Arnold and been like
earlier in the film.
We have been cloned, you know?
Yeah, well,
So he thinks that he's watching the clone, and I think he thinks the clone is in on it.
Oh, yeah. He's assuming that
he thinks the clone is in on it.
Like
okay.
A sleeper agent of some type who's infiltrating his family.
Okay. I missed that. Yeah. Okay, that
and
makes
also,
more sense.
The bad guys made it clear, like, if your family sees you two together, we have to kill your family, too.
He did say that. Okay. Okay.
But he can't bring himself to kill the clone version of himself. Yeah. He can't do it.
Right.
And then his daughter catches him in the bushes.
Yeah, and his daughter seems pretty unfazed by this. She's, you know, not freaked out to find her dad hiding in the bushes near their house. I guess this goes on just when your dad is Arnold.
She doesn't realize that her dad is also in the garage with her mom. Yeah.
It's better he finds the one in the bushes than the one in the
garage. Yeah, then the dad true, having sex true, with true. The mom in an open garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
The scene is just to reinforce then, the audience's
thought. So Arnold is like, okay, I'm going to go put my daughter to bed to Michael Rapaport. He's like, you stay here. So Michael Rapaport stays there and watches the real Arnold and his wife in the minivan, creepily.
It is. This is, yeah.
With, like, comical, like, cutaways of his face.
Yeah, everything about this is weird.
Very weird.
And the movie kind of, my notes start getting real scattershot at this point. We start to realize that Robert Duvall's wife is more than ill. She has, like, a bloody nose.
It's more than ill.
Yeah, she...
In the movie, if you got a bloody nose or if you cough up blood, you're dead in 30
seconds. You're dead. Yeah, you're dying. Which should terrify
or
kids everywhere.
Or bloody nose means psychic powers.
Yeah. Or psychic powers.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
And then the weird skier guy comes back.
Part of Total Recall.
Yeah.
There are psychic powers. Yes. Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Or is that? No, yeah. That's Total Recall.
Yeah, Watto has psychic powers.
Watto from
Total
Phantom
Recall.
Menace.
Yep.
Well, I was thinking Phantom Menace, too.
OG Watto. His name is Watto,
right? His name is Quatto.
Quatto. Okay, that's right.
His name is Quatto, yes.
All right, so then the skier guy comes back in, and we learn that skier guy is... anti-clone.
Yeah, it's part of some, like, anti-clone organization.
Yeah.
Or protest, like,
protest group. And he wants to kill Arnold.
Well, no, he doesn't.
He does.
I don't think
what
he knows.
What does he want?
He wants to kill Michael Rapaport. because he knows he's a clone.
Because he knows Michael Rapaport is a clone. He doesn't know about Arnold.
Yes. Yeah, he tells Arnold he doesn't want to kill him. I think he assumes that the other Arnold is the clone too.
I don't think he knows about the other clone. He only knows Michael Rapaport is a clone because he says I killed him.
Right.
But he has no reason to realize that.
And then what did he see Michael Rapaport like walking down the street?
But doesn't know because doesn't he say something like when he's dying about like.
Well, when he's dying, he then wants Arnold to kill him.
I thought he said something before about the other, I don't know. This got weird.
Yeah. By the way, do you notice also during that big climactic fight, there's a Humvee parked. They're like parked next to a Humvee for this scene, and I think there's a 100% chance that's Arnold Schwarzenegger's Humvee, and he drove into the scene, shot the scene, got back into the Humvee, and drove away. And it's a little confusing. Like, it's just a little lumpy. The scene is like, it's awkwardly done. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a little more confused after the scene with the skier guy than I was before it. Until he's like, shoot me in the brain so they can't clone me. And I was like, oh, okay, that I understand.
Yeah.
So now we find out a little bit more about Robert Duvall's wife. Robert Duvall was probably on set for like 3 days. That his wife died 5 years ago, and now the clone actually wants to die.
Yeah.
And is like,
and okay. She figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so he's talking to a doctor or nurse, because they take her to the hospital, and the doctor is like, yeah, we scanned her body. Yeah, they did some scan her body, and they found she has cystic fibrosis, which doesn't make any sense because that's a childhood disease, and she would have been dead from a while ago. And that's when he starts kind of figuring out something weird's going on, and that's why she died.
Yeah.
After 5 years.
What could have been a really powerful subplot in a smarter movie.
Yeah.
The ethics and the, like, oh, what can this mean? And, like, oh, they, and that this movie just kind of pushes all that to the side and just wants to, like, check a box of being like, well, we did cover that, you know. Yeah. Now we'll get back to Arnold carrying around a woman's thumb and using it as.
I love
this. I do also feel like the wife subplot. Again, highlights Tony Goldwyn's brutality because that's how you discover that he's been implanting genetic defects into his clones so that he has more control over them. Because he says later on when Robert Duvall confronts him, he says that he's doing that on purpose so that, you know, it wasn't supposed to happen to Robert Duvall's wife, but he's doing it so if he clones Senate members, then he can say, you're going to die in 2 years, but I can help you if you do what I want.
Right.
So it's basically like, he's a really bad guy.
And an interesting concept that sort of never goes anywhere from there, really.
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of like the end of that storyline.
He even threatens it to clone Arnold, and then at the end it's like, nope, there was no genetic defect in me. I'm fine.
Really weird that they went there.
Yeah, but it makes sense that there wouldn't be any in Arnold if they were like, crap, Arnold's dead, we don't want anyone to figure it out, but we'll just replace him.
Right. Right.
So that would make sense.
Except they were planning that they might have to clone him.
Oh, to hold leverage against him.
No, because
you do what we say.
The whole plan was, you know, the whole reason they got the blood test and vision test was security for Drucker. So if something happened to Drucker and Adam Gibson, who was supposed to be the pilot, if Adam Gibson died in whatever crash also killed Drucker, if they brought Drucker back, they'd have to also bring Adam Gibson back.
Yeah.
So they were planning on cloning him.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Yeah. So they wouldn't put they wouldn't put an abnormality in him, is what I'm saying.
Well, no, they I would assume they would have because they're putting abnormalities in Johnny Phoenix and.
But that's so they can hold Johnny Phoenix to his contract. Like if he refuses to sign another contract,
we're back on the XFL.
then we'll just let
XFL
him die.
Total Recall. That's what this podcast is about. It is. I would think it'd be more like Michael Rapaport being cloned would be the we have to do this and we don't have time to put a genetic defect in.
But that was they cloned the one guy, they cloned Arnold's character first because they looked up the name.
Yeah.
And then they said, "Oh crap, he's not the one who died. These idiots switched places. Now we got to clone the other guy instead. What do we do about Arnold?" Mm-hmm. Arnold was already cloned, and he also didn't have that genetic defect because they didn't want anyone to know.
I would also
all of a sudden die of cystic fibrosis would, you know, at 47 or whatever would be
like. But then
like
Johnny Phoenix had like liver cancer or something like that. So that's something that would be a lot easier to hide than cystic fibrosis, you know, being a childhood disease.
I would also, I just realized that Tony Goldwyn's organization is incredibly poorly run, that they cloned someone, like a $1.2 million process where they didn't even have a dead body of. Like, right. like they really need to look at their workflow. That
they looked at the name and said, okay, this pilot died.
Or look at the
retina scan of the Drucker character and see that he's who he's physically looking at.
Yeah.
And say, oh, wait a minute, that's not Arnold's character. That's the other character.
That's the other guy. So anyway, yeah, so now clone Arnold is running around with the thumb of the hit woman that he's using as a key.
Which I thought that was kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. I mean, again, this movie wavers between like some pretty like deep, like really existential stuff to like Arnold running around with a thumb using it like a key and dropping it and being like, I dropped my thumb. I'm all thumbs today. Yeah. I know, like it's loaded with this movie feels like a movie from the 80s even though it came out in 2000. Right. And like even the hit woman's like, son of a bitch, he's got my thumb.
Yeah.
Like, oh God. And Arnold eventually gets to meet Robert Duvall because he holds a guard at gunpoint, but who winds up just being like the most helpful guard in the world. Because finally, Arnold's like not even holding a gun to him. The guy's just like, no, I'm, I mean, sure, I'll take you there. I'm like,
no, it's gonna have my
back. I mean, actually, to the point where once Arnold, like, you know, hits him with the gun, I was like, well, that seems kind of cruel. That guard's been nothing but helpful to you.
Arnold has also murdered the goons like three times by now.
He's pretty brutal. He's a brutal guy.
Yeah, and they're the bad guys are send a bunch of dogs to the kid's school because they got to kidnap the wife and the kid because they
So at this point, it's been established that he has because from Robert Duvall's office, he got Drucker's I can't remember, a sync record or whatever it's called. Which is like his when they do the eye test, they get like all your information out of your brain, like your entire life, all your memories and stuff. And he can, Robert Duvall told him he can use this to prove that Drucker is a clone, which would mean he would lose everything because the real Drucker was dead and clones don't have any rights because they're not even legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got this and he's Drucker knows he has this and to get it back, he kidnaps his family so that he can make an exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why, they have like these dogs with these collars or whatever on where they're controlling their. Their aggressiveness.
It's a rather weird way to abduct a family. Yeah.
Well, also the way that they get to the school is first they go to the house, and the smart fridge has a calendar
on it. Blows them in. The smart fridge is the enemy.
Yeah.
The kids' recital at 3 p.m. or whatever it is.
That was pretty stupid.
Well, and like, thank God that the daughter happened to walk out of the recital by herself, because otherwise, I think a lot of the parents would be like, hey, why are there dogs and creepy hitmen walking around our elementary school?
Yeah.
I mean, that worked out pretty well.
Well, you know, pedestrians aren't fazed by car chases. Sure. Maybe parents aren't fazed by dogs and hitmen.
Yeah, they're used to
that. Who knows what the world is like in the near future?
Who knows what's coming up? Yeah. And now the movie kind of gets to like what it wasn't really billed as, but what is the core of the movie of Arnold teaming up with Arnold. Yeah. The two Arnolds get together.
It's
hilarious. I love this.
Yeah. It's weird.
Well, at the end of the movie, it worked. But for the rest of the movie, it was kind of like goofy.
Yeah.
It's pretty stilted. Like, I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger, the actor, never fully... like got the timing of like how this is gonna work. Like you always feel like he's talking to nobody and then they record like and then he shot the other Arnold like talking to no like you just feel like this is not something's not right.
It didn't work for me because at this point I kind of figured that he was the clone because in the beginning when he wakes up in the cab he sees all his memories in that weird like way. So I'm like, okay, he's seeing him as like the sync record or whatever. I think he's a clone. So at this point when they team up it's like the other Arnold, who you're supposed to think is a clone, you're supposed to think, like, the real Arnold's hooking up with his clone who's with his family to get his family back, but it's actually the clone just, you know... just going in this guy's life and being like, okay, we have to save our family now.
Right.
It's just... it's something weird. I can't explain it. It's just weird because the real Arnold who you started the movie with has no idea any of this is going on, and then all of a sudden it's like... now he's in it, and the other clone's like,
yeah, it's very anticlimactic. My family back. It's like, okay, we got to get our family back, and everyone's just like, okay,
and then he's all of a sudden on board with it.
Yeah, and the only reason any of this is happening is because of me. I'm the clone, and you hated clones in the first place, so this can't help that. You're gonna hate them more now, which really doesn't happen in the movie.
You are not you, you're me. Yeah. No shit.
Yeah,
total recall.
Yes, and now we get like a lot of the like this movie just kind of like. this is where it feels very like color by numbers and like
this gets is where real it feels generic. Like a generic goofy.
It becomes an action, yeah. An action. Yeah. A bit, yeah. With a bit over the top sense of humor.
Yeah, I mean it's like I don't even know. They develop the two Arnolds develop this overly complicated plan that I'm still not sure I totally understand, but involves like. They have a conversation.
They purposely stage a conversation to fool the sync cord, but they don't bother to rewind the sync cord a little bit further to figure out that it's a deception.
Yeah. Right.
And their plan is to blow up a cloning clinic that at that point, well, no, Arnold's seen it at this point, so he knows. He knows what it looks like. So he wants to blow up the cloning facility. He's got to find out whether or not he's a clone. He's got to get his family out and he's got to destroy all the cameras so that the other... How do they choose which Arnold goes to save the family? He chooses who he thinks is the clone Arnold. Wouldn't he himself want to be
the one that saves... I lost track at this point of which Arnold was which.
Well, I thought for a second they were going to do something clever because when he finds out he's the clone,
yeah,
and then they find out the other Arnold's actually in the building and they were like worked on this deception that they had maybe switched places where the other one was the clone, but they switched places so that the real Arnold could then go get his family as the real Arnold.
Right.
But apparently that wasn't the case. And
right. I was thinking that too.
And then maybe he detonates and the whole thing blows up and he sacrifices himself.
I thought that's where it was going too. And that's like, nope.
Because I thought maybe the clone would be like, okay, I'm the clone, you know.
The clone is a victim too because he didn't know he was a clone, right?
Yeah. I thought there was going to be the classic like, haha, you had thought I was the real Adam Gibson.
Right.
I'm a clone. Yeah.
You know? But
we didn't get that.
Which also happens in Total Recall.
Yeah.
You think this is the real Quaid? It is.
By the end of this podcast, I'm not going to have to watch Total Recall.
Watch it anyway.
Yeah.
It has everything but Mars, basically, and Schwarzenegger's eyes popping out of his head. Those are the only two things
which
the film
they kind of do when they put him back in the machine, the eye-reading machine.
But they don't literally pop out of his skull.
Well, that's true.
The nightmare sequence.
And so Tony Goldwyn ends up shot. And there's a really weird scene where he shoots the hitman who kills him.
Because he gets shot by his idiot hitman who's just... Arnold's got him in a headlock and the hitman just starts shooting at him and hits him in the side, in the stomach.
It's so weird when Tony Goldwyn kills that hitman because the hitman seems to kind of know that he's going to get killed. Like, he walks up sheepishly, a little kid who's in trouble. Yeah. And you're like... Hey, man, if you knew you were going to get murdered by the only guy who can clone you, maybe you should have had a little more urgency.
Yeah. And I thought he was going to kill... So he killed Robert Duvall a little bit ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Robert Duvall's like, I quit. This is... My wife's dead. I'm not going to reclone her. I don't want to do this anymore. I quit. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm going to kill you and reclone you. Reclone your wife. Nobody will know the difference. Which he doesn't actually end up doing. So I thought here he was getting... He knew he was going to die. So there'd basically be nobody else, I would think, who would know how to clone because you would think only a few people do. So I thought he was going to kill all the clones that were with him, like Mugbuck and everyone, because then get rid of all the evidence or whatever. But that's not. He just killed the guy.
Just kills the guy because he wants to shoot him. Yeah.
So I thought they were kind of getting not clever, but do something there, but they didn't.
Well, now we get the classic 90s cat and mouse kind of gunfight action scene with the hitmen looking for Arnold, and Arnold is swimming around in the clone tank.
His underwater face was
terrifying.
You do, yes. I guess you do get kind of that.
Yeah, you do get his crazy underwater face.
It was terrifying.
Yeah. And you could really make a strong case the heroes of this movie are the goofy hitmen, because one of the hitmen causes a flood.
Accidentally,
which foils Tony Goldwyn's cloning process and screws everything up.
Yeah, because he's trying to reclone himself, which before this, like Jack said, his line earlier, so Arnold and him are having their Bond villain moment where he tells him everything, and then he gets the one-liner in and he says, you should clone yourself while you're still alive. Yeah. And he says, why? And he says, so you can fuck yourself. So at this point, he starts cloning himself while he's still alive.
Right.
So I guess that was a foreshadowing for this. But so he's starting to try to clone himself as he's dying.
Well, by the way, you should put up air quotes when you say dying.
He's got blood coming out.
It takes forever.
Yeah. And he did say it'd be 20 minutes.
He knew exactly how long it would take.
His dying condition swings widely from near death to... able to attack Arnold.
So he's trying to clone himself, and the water floods in and shorts out the equipment or whatever, so the clone is only half made
and it's a gross
he looks like a monster
monster.
Yeah. He's a goo.
But he somehow doesn't realize it. Like, I get that you can't see your own face, but he could see his hand perfectly fine.
I assumed that he didn't. I assumed that he knew and he didn't care.
Yeah.
But
then he looks in the mirror and he's like, oh no, I'm hideous. Well, why does he care? He can just make a new body if he
wants. That's why I thought, yes.
Or he doesn't care anymore and I'm a monster. I don't care.
Well, now all the bodies are ruined because of that flood and like the tank was ruined. Yeah, so all the blanks, which has anybody seen the movie At World's End?
Yes.
Yes.
I was laughing at the blanks.
Yes.
Because of that movie.
Yeah. 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 Ooh, this movie is a precursor to At World's End, too.
Yep.
Yeah. So for reasons that will forever be unexplained, Arnold like overpowers goo Tony Goldwyn and kind of dying Tony Goldwyn, but kills neither of them.
And he gets his line in.
I didn't think this line just kind of ruined the joke, but
yeah.
Well, part of the reason it ruins the joke is because he says screw, right, because it's PG, and I was like,
PG-13. They can only get one
PG-13, F-bomb. Yeah. Only one.
So he could have said screw yourself the first time,
and then said,
that
would have
been funny.
Yes,
yeah.
Because you could screw yourself.
The one is lying on the floor, the dying Drucker, who's now naked because the other Drucker took his clothes, and the other Drucker falls on top of him. It's like in between his legs, and Arnold's like, "When I told you to go screw yourself, I didn't think you'd take it literally."
Yeah,
I'm like, okay.
And at that point, you could have shot with the laser beam with one bolt. Yeah. He would have killed them both.
He's not a murderer, Jack.
Oh, just a hitman. Yeah.
But he totally is a murderer. Yeah.
Like, he really is
a clone murderer.
Yeah, and in fact,
these are both clones.
Yeah. Both Arnold and clone Arnold almost. Or die because neither of the Tony Goldwyns are dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at this scene, I thought, because there were like three or four moments earlier on with zippers, like I was saying, there's like zipper jokes. Mm-hmm. At one point when they switch clothes, the Drucker who's dying is lying on the floor and the other one's like putting the clothes on and the dying one's like whispering something. And he's like, what? I thought he was saying zipper. I thought he was telling him zipper was zipper. But he was warning him that Arnold's behind him. Oh. I was like, if they went back to another zipper joke, I'm quitting this movie.
And also, goo Tony Goldwyn totally should have realized he was goo because he was getting dressed.
Right. Yeah.
Like, how would you get dressed and not realize, like, oh, my whole body's like a goo.
Like an albino, yeah.
Although he was very courteous and left dying Tony Goldwyn his boxers.
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
that's
right.
Yeah.
And for a movie that's not afraid to make jokes and even be self-referential, I was waiting all movie long for a get to the chopper. And there never is one.
I know.
And in fact, there's a point in the movie where Arnold should be saying to the other Arnold, get to the chopper.
Because he did say, I might be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there was a moment too here where he's got like a remote control for the chopper. And he does take it at one point and like tilt it and use the blades to try to kill the Drucker.
Goo Goldwyn.
But it's just funny because that's a scene from Tomorrow Never Dies when they try to use a helicopter to kill Bond and Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, it's kind of
on the bike. Yeah.
Yep.
So I just thought that was funny.
It was fun. Yeah, it gets... I'm still not totally sure how both Arnolds get in the chopper. Like, this is... The editing of this is weird.
This is why this movie is, like, a little too early for this kind of stuff because they do, like, the weird coming back to when you have, like, Arnold hanging on Arnold when they're, like, hanging on the helicopter. But it's like weird cuts because it's only one guy. So you have to like cut like, oh, just him on the legs and him up holding up here, like looking down and talking. You know, you can't show them both at the same time, I guess.
Yeah.
They did some stuff that was decent, but a lot of it just didn't work like that, or they had to cut around it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think if like now you could do it more effectively, but
I suspect.
Has anybody seen Orphan Black?
No.
No.
I have not.
Oh, I highly recommend Orphan Black. It is incredible and is like the best example of what clone special effects and acting could be.
Is it as good as Total Recall?
I wouldn't know.
Nothing is as good as Total Recall.
But that is, you know, Tatiana Maslany, I can never pronounce her name, plays, you know, four or five up to like seven or eight in one episode sometimes versions, you know, clones of one person. Yeah. So, but they are all very distinct personalities and... you know, you can even tell like, oh, that's Sarah pretending to be Helena. You know, you can tell which clone is doing what, and they have scenes where four or five of them are all interacting together, and the effects are amazing.
Yeah,
because that's what I was thinking of when you were talking about how Arnold never really got the rhythm of it and things like that. And so, if you want to see cloning done well, I mean, it's a show; it's not a movie, and it's like five seasons, I think. Not every season is amazing, but. As far as clone effects, it is so much better.
I do want to see that. Everything I read and hear about, I listened to an interview with her talking about her process, and it was fascinating to me. Yeah.
But also at this point in the movie, I feel like they ran out of special effects budget because this last helicopter scene when they're like flying over the building, there's some shots there that are like really bad.
There's some real cheap looking shots. I also suspect that they had more footage using a stunt double, like an Arnold and like a Arnold stunt double to be two Arnolds.
Yeah.
And I suspect it just looked awful.
Yeah.
And that they were like, nope, and had to excise all of that, you know, because it there's some shots that are put together where you're like, nope, that doesn't, nope, those two shots shouldn't be together, those two shots shouldn't be together.
Yeah, there's never like a moment where they're like both there together. It's clunkily done
to avoid the fact that they couldn't seamlessly put two Arnolds in certain shots.
Yeah.
Jack, I feel like you're allergic to the mic today. I keep like getting further and further away.
Except when he talks about Total Recall.
Would you prefer and I talk kept, like this?
From the whole point when the two Arnolds teamed up, I kept being like, well, how are they going to deal with the fact of, like, there can't be two Arnolds?
I really thought, I agree with the thought that I thought clone Arnold was then, oh, wow, I'm the clone. I need to protect the real Arnold and my family. And I thought he was going to stay behind and sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
And then when they were on the helicopter, I was like, he's not going to let real Arnold die, is he?
Yeah.
Or is it just going to be, you know, convenient if real Arnold dies?
Or I would have bet all the money in my wallet that we were going towards an ending where one Arnold survives and it's going to be like, is it the clone or isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's the clear ending. But it's like, nope, there's just two Arnolds. Yeah. There are now two Arnolds roaming the earth. And one is like, this is your family too. Yeah.
I kind of like the way that ended though. Like they kind of, the two clones bonded. I think in a better movie, this would have worked sense better.
Because it's like, the whole setup that beginning of the movie is that Arnold doesn't like clones. They like freak him out. It's unnatural, whatever.
Illegal.
And it causes issues. So then throughout this whole movie, his family is almost killed because of cloning and because of this other clone. Wouldn't he be more like, clones are bad. Like, get away from me.
I think they're supposed to have bonded. I think if they had shown it better, this would have worked.
But over what though? That his family was almost killed because of this guy. So then he just
has him impressed that this guy is like him in every way. He begins to accept that.
But then they have to like awkwardly like wrap it up by being like, clone Arnold's like, I'm going to go on a 4-month boat trip.
Because he was going to open his own helicopter charter in Argentina.
He's starting like another, like a satellite.
By the way, there's no way that happened. The wife is totally sexing both Arnolds.
For her, that'd be the best possible.
Yeah, that's the real ending of this movie. Yeah, it was strange. I don't know if I want to give this movie credit for not giving me the ending I thought we were getting or giving me an ending that's even weirder than...
It was I don't have a genetic, abnormality. And I'm going to be okay.
Totally fine.
Okay, you open up the thing. Okay, go say bye to the family. You know, it was just
I thought it was a nice ending.
It kind of felt to me like that 80s thinking where at the end someone was like, we got to keep both Arnolds alive in case we want to do a sequel.
Yeah.
I was like, there is no sequel, fellas, to this movie.
That'll be a prequel about the Rainforest Wars, but...
The Rainforest Wars. So also on the cutting room floor, I feel like, is... and as I started the sentence, I realized I forgot what I wanted to say. Sorry. There was something that I feel like got cut out, and now I don't remember what it was.
I mean, this movie was like 2 hours long.
At the end of the movie, when Clone Arnold flies away, it cuts to real Arnold, and he's like shaving, and he cuts himself, and then he rubs his face, and he brings his eye down, and he sees two dots, and then it cuts to black. Wouldn't that have been interesting? Like they're both clones.
Sure.
Also on the cutting room floor, I'm going to start my sentence again and remember where it goes this time. Must be something about whatever that first clone experiment was that they had to destroy, because they kept talking about how it went so badly. I kept expecting something to come back about what happened in that experiment.
Maybe it was a goo monster.
Maybe.
A giant goo monster. That would have been cool to see Arnold fight a giant foam rubber goo monster.
I do remember too just now that in the scene where he finds out he's a clone, they ask the woman bad guy there, Tatiana, whatever her name was, how many times have you been a clone? And she's like, I can't even, I've lost count. And then 2 seconds, they're like, four times.
It's
four
times.
No, it's just four. You don't even need both hands. Yeah.
I was really expecting more than that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, and we've seen at least two of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I was like,
they would have been fine. They would have been fine just to leave the line and show the dots.
Yeah. I want to do a little So Wrong It's Right. The budget of this movie, the numbers and the math in this movie is kind of all over the place, as very early 2000s movies are, because the entertainment, like, numbers weren't always being accurately reported to entertainment media, and there's a lot of issues here. But so Wikipedia says this movie had an $82 million budget. Between 65 and 82 are the numbers have been given.
Okay.
How much do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger was paid for this movie? And before we do that,
okay,
I want to give you a little background of what his movies were before this.
Immediately
before okay. this.
I think you remember them.
Before this, Junior, 1994 was Junior.
Yep.
No movie in 95. 96 was Eraser
yep.
and Jingle All the Way. 97 was Batman and Robin.
Oof.
99 was End of Days. There was no 98 movie. So those are the movies.
That's the
5 years before this movie.
By the
comes
way,
out.
When you said let's do 6 Day, I was like, didn't we already do that? And then I realized it was End of Days. We did
End of Days. Yeah. So that's the movies leading up to this.
I'm still gonna say that he's at the time Schwarzenegger is at least.
What were the numbers?
Because he was such a name. He was such a bad.
It's the budget is somewhere between 65 and 82. Wikipedia says it's 82, although some other stuff said 65.
I was going to say 15 mil.
I was going to say 20, but I'll go 25.
Christy gets it, 25 million.
Wow.
Now, think about that. They paid Schwarzenegger 25 million.
Possibly a third of the budget.
A third, and every one of his Junior was a, because I looked up all of these last night.
Junior was not a success.
Box office disappointment. Eraser, box office disappointment. Jingle All the Way.
Well, I mean,
made money but was problematic.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin, huge hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, no, just kidding. Batman and Robin, not a huge hit. I mean,
they probably did make a lot of toys for that.
End of Days, you know, was kind a disappointment.
In all fairness, he did play two parts in this movie, so
he did.
That's
but I mean,
true.
I'm just amazed. I'm surprised Sony was willing. Looking at, I mean, like, I just remember this as being someone who's young and in college as this kind of decline started of being like, oh yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear, like, you know, we're
Schwarzenegger's
like on the decline, like, and that somebody in the late 90s was still willing to give him 25 million. I mean, you,
like, if this were 1992, that would make sense.
In 1992, I could have seen that, yes. And, like, you know, like, I didn't include Last Action Hero, which is 93. That movie's amazing, by the way.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, you really, Last Action Hero, well, True Lies came out in 94, which was a big hit, yeah.
But for the most part.
Yeah, this is.
Like, that's what, like 5 out of 7 movies that weren't good.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like that same period too, they're still paying for, you know, the names. You know, you don't really have that too much nowadays, like, you know, they can't build a movie around a name like they used to. So I think maybe they're just,
yeah, like you,
if you put shirts in, you're gonna, it'll sell it. Anyways,
it will sell no matter what. You would, yeah. You just wouldn't give a third of a movie's budget to a guy or a lady,
right. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And as Jack kind of referenced earlier, this is officially the end of the Arnold Schwarzenegger superstar era. His next movie was Collateral Damage, which came out in 2002, which is a significantly smaller movie. Mm-hmm. Terminator 3 came out in 2003, but that's not,
yeah.
like, there's nothing he's done since then that is really... Like, I mean, obviously he was governor for years, yeah, but
I was
like,
gonna say, when was he actually governor? Did he make movies while he was governor?
He was the cameo
in the first Expendables movie.
Right, yeah.
He was governor.
And he was a cameo in Around the World in 80 Days when he was governor, and but you know, this was the last time. This was it. This was sort of
the last action hero.
This was the last. This is the end of his thing. So let's do a quick, is it so bad? I mean, for me, this movie's not, it's just sort of its own category. It's like, it's fine. Like, it's sort of fine. I kind of liked it. It's sort of fun in that you're seeing the end of Schwarzenegger as a superstar. It feels like a movie from the 80s that is out of time.
Yeah.
And it's very color by numbers.
Yeah.
No, I mean, to reference Total Recall once again, what makes Total Recall...
If you've seen Total Recall, it would be sick. This is like its brother or its clone.
But well, it's like a bad clone, because Total Recall is super quirky.
But
like,
it's
no one
Paul
would
Verhoeven
ever...
Paul Verhoeven can do a movie
Paul
like
Verhoeven.
That.
No one would ever describe Total Recall as color by numbers, where this movie has like a just sort of a genericness to it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Total Recall is super crazy and leans in and all of that, and this is like, we're going to play it safe.
Yeah.
So I guess it's fine. I I laughed a little at it. There's stuff I kind of liked. It just sort of like is. I mean, if you talk to me in 3 weeks, I'm not going to remember of what this movie was. No. So
it is kind of forgettable.
Yeah, it's just forgettable.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. You know, I didn't mind watching it, but and there was enough Arnold craziness that was somewhat enjoyable. But I think I've said before, like I'm not a fan of like near future movies, especially like in the 90s. Like they just all feel the same to me, and it's. I don't know. I wouldn't call it so bad it's good. I wouldn't call it good either, but this is kind of meh.
Yeah.
Are you saying you don't like Demolition Man?
I don't think I've ever seen Demolition Man.
That's a fantastic near future movie.
I do not.
I'm sure there's good near future.
I love Demolition Man.
But just in general, especially when they're made in the 90s. You know,
wait, Jack, have you seen 90s. Total Recall?
Yes, I have.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have known that.
I thought this movie was not great, but it was highly entertaining. I enjoyed it. I liked it better when it was new. I saw it in the theater, and I was like, "Yeah, it's a cool Schwarzenegger film." But you know, under closer scrutiny, it's full of flaws, and it's not great. But at the same time, I bought into the nonsense enough to be entertained. I think there's a better movie here with a tighter script, a different director, and an actor who's not Arnold Schwarzenegger in the lead. This could have been a smart thriller instead of an action movie with explosions. And stuff.
And just to finish, because I did have one more thought that when I read the synopsis on it, it like sounded like an interesting film. Like, guy goes home, there's a clone there.
There's almost like
the clone is in some way you would think the clone would be bad in some way.
It could be like science fiction Hitchcock in a way.
But it wasn't that. It was a generic action movie.
So. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're carrying a thumb around using it as a key.
They would have done it.
Yeah.
I think I would have liked that smarter movie a lot better, but I kind of liked this one. It was like Jack said, I bought into the nonsense enough, and it was I actually sometimes enjoy those near future movies, especially then watching them, you know, 19 years later to see what they like. I was laughing at the fridge and the screen in his remote that was essentially an iPhone.
Right.
Yep.
The self-driving cars, the laser guns, just to see what I always get a kick out of looking at what the past thought the future would look like.
Yeah.
You know, I love reading 70s sci-fi novels like, you know, Arthur C. Clarke and reading, you know, some of the things that they get right and some of the things that we're already so beyond, couldn't even imagine conceive that, of what we're at, you know, those kinds of things. It's fun. I liked it.
They have to give up on laser guns, though. Like, that's not going to be a thing. That takes a movie like this and just makes it worse.
Yeah, I would agree. Those effects. Well, this movie also came out in that era of like where there's some digital effects because we see them in this movie, but there's also like very, like just the laser stuff is like, okay, that's pretty old special effects technology and the juncture of the two.
I also thought it was weird. This is something that I always find weird, and this is a very, very dumb point to criticize.
You bring up Total Recall one more time, John. I swear to God.
So in Total Recall, when he throws that exploding head at the guard and she says, "Get ready for a surprise." No.
Was it a creepy doll head?
No, it wasn't. It was this really intricate robot mask that he takes off in a stop motion effect.
Stop spoiling the movie for
a Yeah, anyway, I've never seen it.
So when lasers shoot people in movies and they bleed, this is something I've seen before in science fiction films. And for example, like you get shot and you get grazed on the arm and you're bleeding. I would think that that would be a burn mark, that it would scorch you and you wouldn't bleed. For some reason, when I see that in a movie, like, oh, I'm bleeding because I was shot by a laser, it's not a bullet. It's like a heat beam.
Yeah.
Why are you bleeding? That's a good point. Even in Star Wars, when Obi-Wan cuts that guy's arm off in the bar and there's a blood pool on the ground when they cut to the arm, it would be a scorch mark.
I did read something recently where they said that's actually one of the only times you see blood from a lightsaber wound
in any of the Star Wars movies.
Because they later figured out, I think, exactly what you're saying of like, oh, wait, that probably would cauterize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very minor point, and it didn't really bother me, but I thought it should be better.
Sounds like about you pretty much. You're allowed. Yeah.
In short, watch Total Recall. It's an amazing film.
See you at the party, Richter.
Yes! I was waiting for him to say that, too.
I have a Total Recall question
for you. Go ahead.
What about the Colin Farrell one?
No.
Okay.
Because I know that the Tom Cruise one...
It's very just... blah. It's the Arnold one works because it's so crazy.
It's a product of its time. It's satirical in a lot
of
ways.
Paul Verhoeven's like wacky direction and Schwarzenegger's big personality and
they
and
work
Rob
very
Bottin's
well together.
Effects,
yep, like, the Rob Bottin effects are great.
Yeah.
Did you know that what was the movie where they predict murders?
Minority Report.
Minority Report was originally a sequel to Total Recall in pre-production.
I think I actually did hear that was supposed to be. Because it's another
a sequel to Schwarzenegger's.
Not to
the Colin Farrell one.
Well, it came out before the Colin Farrell one. So.
Yeah. But they came out closer together, so I don't know.
So long story short, see Total Recall.
This movie will remind you a lot of it.
Yeah.
Usually that's a bad thing, but this time, nah, not really.
All right, so we're going to be back soon with more crazy movies. I actually made a list of some crazy movies that we're going to put up for a vote.
And I had a couple of thoughts, too.
Yeah, and I need some... We're going to start collecting our thoughts on our horrible Halloween series.
Well, I think my thought would go towards that.
So. Okay, nice, nice. And we'll be back soon. Okay, all right, bye.